Hello, everybody, and welcome. With Bob Christopher, this is Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you, our listeners, hear, believe, and live in the good news of Jesus Christ. Our listener lines are open, and we'll welcome your calls now at 844-322-2742. If you have a Bible question, or if you're dealing with some difficult personal issue, let us hear from you. The lines are open, so call now, 844-322-2742, because it's Basic Gospel, everybody, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, as Bob said, the lines are wide open right now at 844-322-2742. I would love to hear from you on today's broadcast. There's so much that we can talk about, world events, things that are going on in your life, Bible questions, whatever's on your mind. We would love to talk about it today on Basic Gospel. Again, the number is toll-free here in the United States and Canada, so take advantage of that. It's 844-322-2742. One of the things that we see in the Word of God is the gospel of Jesus Christ actually drawing us near unto God. In my 40 years of being involved in ministry, the question that I get asked quite often is, how do I draw near to God? How can I experience a closeness with God? How can I experience God's presence? Those are the things that people really want to know, and they feel like there are obstacles that they have to overcome. There's barriers that they have to push through in order to obtain that closeness, in order to earn that closeness. But the gospel tells a completely different story. And for the last several days, we've been looking at passages on reconciliation, that God reconciled the world unto himself, which means God has reconciled you unto himself. And he did that through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. So what did Jesus' death on the cross accomplish? It removed the sin barrier that stood between you and God once and for all. So there's nothing that you need to do to knock that wall down, to run through that barrier. You can just go boldly into the throne of grace. And that's true of whether or not you're Jew or Gentile. This gospel message has opened up the way to anyone who calls upon the name of the Lord. So those barriers have been knocked down. Well, when you draw near, and that's the act of faith. So Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 2 that we are saved by grace through faith. It is a gift of God. It is not of works, lest anyone should boast. So this drawing near is this response of faith to the grace of God that's been poured out to us in Christ Jesus. So we draw near. We respond to that love that was demonstrated in the cross of Jesus Christ and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And when we do, then we are joined forever with God through his Holy Spirit. So we become one with God. So we are one in union with God through his Spirit. So once that occurs, we're in union with him forever. We're as close to God as we will ever be. Now, sometimes our minds are far off from God. Sometimes our thinking doesn't align with that truth. Sometimes our feelings are messed up when it comes to our relationship with the Lord. We feel like God's a million miles away. We feel distant. We feel unclean. But those are just feelings, and those feelings aren't based on truth. So what does God call us to do in those instances? He calls us to get our minds in line with the truth of the gospel. We don't want to be out of sync. We don't want the truth of the gospel to be going down one path and our minds, our thinking, and our feelings to be going down another. We want to get those in sync. And the Holy Spirit is going to be involved in that, in renewing our minds to let us know that we are one with Jesus Christ. Now, in Ephesians chapter 3, here's a wonderful passage, verse 12. Paul is again talking about Jew and Gentile, how this message of the gospel was preached to those who were near And those were the Jews or the people of Israel. And it was preached to those who were far away. And those were the Gentiles. So if you were a Gentile, you were in that category of being far away. Now, why would Paul say that? Well, simply because at one time we were without God in this world. We were without hope. We had not been given the covenants like the people of Israel did, or all the promises. Those were given to the nation of Israel. So in light of that, Paul says we were far away, even in the Old Testament. For example, in the book of Hosea, we see God saying that I'm going to call a people that are far away, a people who are not my people, to become my people. And he was talking about the Gentiles. And he's saying this gospel message has been preached to all. And then he comes up with this conclusion, in whom, Jesus, we have boldness and access with confidence through our faith in him. So what does this gospel do? It grants us access into the very presence of God, into that throne of grace. Well, once we're there, then we are united with Christ forever, and that's good news. So the gospel opened the door. By faith we enter, and then there's a closeness that becomes ours forever. That's the good news of the gospel. You are one in union with God's Spirit, and he will never leave you nor forsake you. You are never alone in this world. And boy, with all the difficulties, when all the adverse circumstances that we're going through right now in this world, it's nice to know that God's presence is always with us. He is going through each and every circumstance with us, giving us hope, giving us encouragement, giving us strength, empowering us to live as children of light in this world of darkness. That's the good news of the gospel. Well, we would love to hear from you on today's edition of Basic Gospel, 844-322-2742. Dial that number right now. Come on in. Join us on this edition of Basic Gospel. As a reminder, Basic Gospel is listener-supported radio, and certainly as we close out the summer months, we need your help. We need your help urgently to help get us through the summer doldrums. This is typical. This is usual. It's a little more severe this year than in the past, I think, because of all the things that are going on out there in the world. So if you can help with a gift of Basic Gospel today, we ask you to do so. Go to basicgospel.net. That's basicgospel.net. Click the donate button and follow all the instructions. And we ask you to be as generous as you possibly can. The world needs what this ministry is delivering, and that's the good news of Jesus Christ. People need to know that Christ died for their sins according to the Bible. People need to know that eternal life can be theirs by grace through faith in Jesus. People need to know that they can experience true spiritual freedom because of the grace of God. These are the spiritual needs that people are desperately trying to meet. And many are trying to meet those needs out there in the world, and they're coming up empty time and time and time again. Well, let's deliver them the substance of the gospel, something that will fill them and they will never be empty again. And that's the good news of Jesus Christ. That's why we're asking you to give, and to give generously, and to give urgently to meet this summer need. Again, you can do so at basicgospel.net. Click the donate button and follow all the instructions. We have a wonderful resource by our good friend and colleague and brother in Christ, co-laborer in the ministry, Andrew Farley. It's his latest resource, a video resource called Clean and Close. If you want to know what this gospel message has done as far as bringing you close to God and keeping you there forever, this resource is for you, and it's our way of saying thank you for your gift to basicgospel.net. Again, that resource is Clean and Close, and the website is basicgospel.net. The donate button, click it, follow all the instructions, and ask for your resource clean and close, and we'll get it to you as quickly as we possibly can. Well, this is Basic Gospel. I'm Bob Christopher. So glad that you have joined us. Hey, it's just a thrill that you've allowed me, allowed our team to be a part of your day-to-day journey, and we're excited that you're a part of ours. So let's talk about it. Let's talk about what's going on in your life. Let's talk about what's going on out there in the world. Let's talk about this gospel message and the impact that it makes on us in our day-to-day lives. Again, that number, 844-322-2742, 844-322-2742. We had this great question that came into us from Dorian. And I really like this question. It's this: I have just begun learning about Christianity and have just started reading your book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. She says, you mentioned that in college you had it all wrong about Christianity being a self-improvement program. And boy, did I have it wrong back in college. But she says, I'm finding that some self-improvement programs seem to contradict the Bible. Do you believe self-improvement programs serve a purpose if they align with Christianity, or does the Bible provide everything that we need? Well, here's how I got it wrong in college, why I thought Christianity was a self-improvement program, because I thought the Bob Christopher that came into this world was okay. It just needed some improving. I needed to become a better version of myself. And so I launched on a do better, try more, be better program, wanting to become better and better each and every day. Well, what I discovered is that that's not the path to transformation. There's no transformation in trying to improve the self. And here's what we need to know. And Paul tells us about it in Romans 6. He says that the old man was crucified with Christ, and that we have been made new by grace through faith in Jesus. So God didn't want to improve that old self. He wanted to crucify that old self with Jesus, and then he wanted to raise up something brand new in Christ. That's what the gospel is all about. We die in Christ Jesus, we're buried, we're with Christ, and we're raised to walk in the newness of life. So Christianity is about resurrection. It's about life on the other side of the cross. Jesus died, we died with him. Jesus was buried, we were baptized with him, placed into that burial. So that old man died. Paul put it this way in Galatians 2:20, we have been crucified with Christ, and we no longer live. It's Christ who lives in us. And the life that we live in this flesh, we live by faith in the Son of God who loved us and gave himself for us. So Christianity is not a self-improvement program. God wants us to die in Christ so that we can be raised to walk in the newness of life. When I discovered that truth, when I discovered that crucifixion was mine and that I had been made alive together with Jesus, Christianity started falling in place for me. I started to truly experience the abundant life, and I started to really live out my identity in Christ Jesus. So when we were lost, our identity was one of sinner. And we're not going to improve on that. At the end of the day, no matter how hard we try, we're still going to be labeled sinner until we receive the gospel. And when we receive the gospel, we're washed, we're sanctified, we're justified in the name of the Lord and through the Holy Spirit. And through that, we become saints. So that sinner, that guy is gone. And a new guy has come out of the tomb with Christ, raised to walk in the newness of life. That new guy is a saint by calling. He's equipped with the Holy Spirit, empowered by the Holy Spirit to live out this newness of life by grace through faith in Jesus. So that's why Christianity is not a self-improvement program. Now, are there self-improvement programs out there that serve a purpose if they align with Christianity? Well, I think, again, a self-improvement program on a spiritual level is not going to jive with Christianity. They're going to be at opposite ends of the spectrum. So God isn't creating a better version of you. He's already created that in Christ. So a self-improvement program that's going to take you away from your identity in Christ and try to put you down a road of doing more and trying harder, that's going to be antithetical to Christianity. Now, are there some things that can improve us as far as our knowledge is concerned, as far as those sort of things? Absolutely. But that's on a soulish level, not on a spiritual level. So, Dorian, hope that helps. And I'm so glad that you're reading Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. And I'm praying that your eyes will be opened and you will see Christianity for what it is, a story of death, burial, and resurrection, the story of Christ dying for your sins and being raised so that you could experience new life. And then through faith, you identifying yourself in Christ's death, being co-crucified with him, and being raised to walk in the newness of life. Well, thanks so much, Dory, and we certainly appreciate your question today. Again, the number, 844-322-2742. If you have a question, call right now, 844-322-2742. Vincent had this question, and Vincent is writing to us from Edmonton, Alberta. And he says this, is a lie a learned sin? Are most kids liars? Well, every kid that I've ever encountered figures out how to lie very quickly. And I don't know that it's a learned behavior or if it's just a symptom or a manifestation of their spiritual condition. I mean, all of us come into this world lost, dead spiritually, dead in trespasses and sins. We are following the ways of this world. We are following the prince of the power of this air. We are under the power of sin and death. We live to gratify the desires of the flesh. Now, you ask the question about kids and babies and how can that be? They look so innocent. They look so beautiful and angelic and all of those sort of things. But as they begin to grow, as they begin to mature, you start to see signs of this spiritual condition. And one of those signs is this ability to lie just on command. They, you know, feel like they're going to be in trouble. They feel like they've done something wrong, and they know if parents find out about it or somebody in authority finds out about it, they're going to be in trouble. That's just part of the human conscience that they are experiencing at that early age. And what do? Because of fear of punishment, they lie. Did you do that? And they will shake their head no, knowing full well that, yes, indeed, they did it. Now, the parents didn't teach them how to do that. That just came naturally to them in that natural human spiritual condition. And so as they grow older, they're going to see evidence of their lostness in their day-to-day lives. I know that was true for me, and that's one of the things that really got to me, made me scratch my head and come to this point and say, what is wrong with me? And that's when the gospel message really started to make sense, that I was a sinner, I was dead spiritually, and I needed something outside of myself to solve that problem. And so as kids grow up, they're going to see evidence of that lostness, and lying is one of those evidences. It's one of those symptoms of being dead spiritually, being a sinner by nature. So, Vincent, hope that helps. That's a fantastic question. We had this one that came in from Clay, watching us on YouTube. And Clay said this: isn't the only way a Christian can walk is in the Spirit if he lives in us and will never leave us? Well, we are going to always live by the Spirit. We're always going to live in the Spirit. So we were in the flesh when we were lost. Now we're in the Spirit. So there was a location change. Our original location was in the flesh, in Adam, in darkness. That's what it meant to be lost. That was the realm that we lived in. But by grace, through faith in Jesus, that location has changed. Now we're in the Spirit, and we can never go back to being in the flesh. We can never go back to being in Adam. We can never go back to being in darkness. So when it says walk in the Spirit, when it says that we are in the Spirit in Romans chapter 8, for example, it's talking about our location. Now, as children of God, as children of the light, we have freedom. We can make some choices, and we can walk by the Spirit, or we can walk by the desires of the flesh. So we can allow the desires of the flesh to entice us in such a way that we make a choice to give in to that desire. We can make a choice to give in to a worldly temptation. But when we do so, we're doing so in the Spirit. And that's why when we make those choices, it becomes immediately clear that we don't fit with that anymore, that that choice isn't compatible with who we now are in Christ Jesus. So we have living in the Spirit, that's location, and then there's the choices that we can make in our day-to-day walk. That's why Paul would say in Galatians chapter 5, when he's talking about freedom, he says, don't use your freedom to indulge the flesh, but rather serve one another in love. We can use our freedom to indulge the flesh. That's what freedom means, that we can make that choice. But that choice is not going to be beneficial to us. It's not going to be beneficial to others. And as soon as we make a choice to indulge the flesh, we're going to see very clearly that that choice is not compatible with life in the Spirit. And we recognize that. We agree with that. And then we can say, Lord, I'm learning day by day that not only am I in the Spirit, but how wonderful it is to walk by the Spirit and experience the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. So, yes, the only way we can walk, the only place we can walk, is in the Spirit, because he lives in us. But we certainly have choices, that choice being a choice of freedom, one choice leading us down a path that will take us in a wrong direction, another choice that will enable us to truly experience this wonderful life that we have in Christ. Well, that's all our time for today on this edition of Basic Gospel. Thank you so much for being with us. We'll be back tomorrow for another live edition. Andrew Farley will be with us. Bob Davis will be back in studio. So we'll look forward to spending that 30 minutes with you tomorrow afternoon at this same time. In the meantime, just a reminder about our upcoming conference in October 15th through the 17th. It's United. The Grace Message with Andrew Farley, Basic Gospel, joining together to present this to you. Come be a part of it. All the information on how you can register is at our homepage at basicgospel.net. Just click on the big banner and follow all the instructions. Come join us. Well, we'll see you tomorrow. So long.